This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
By the way, for those who want to relive the magic, here was Seth Payne getting selected in the expansion draft. Was this cooler or not as cool as Marshawn Lynch announcing Cali Yarncroke?
The little old band from Texas would like to welcome to the little old football team from Texas
the number 8 selection, Seth Payne. Dom Capers head coach, Charlie Casserly GM, taking a third Jacksonville Jaguar to go with the 3 Jets. And Seth looks pretty fired up to meet the guys from ZZ Top. Ron, a young defensive lineman, relative terms, age 26. All these players drafted today are under the age of 30.
Yeah, Mike, and one thing you notice about Seth Payne, he's a run stopper.
Right, hey, so what the hell is that supposed to mean? <That's> a...
I think it was a compliment.
He called me fat is what he did.
That's what you hear.
What the hell? One thing you notice that's pretty obvious about Seth, he's not running down any gazelles anytime soon.
That's funny.
This guy's a big fat run stuffer.
I love how you're... exuberance was so obvious that Tirico's like, boy, Seth is really excited to get picked by ZZ Top.
Yeah. It was, if I remember right, it was Billy Gibbons and Frank Beard. I don't think Dusty Hill was there. I don't know why he couldn't make it.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Billy Gibbons was definitely one of them. I forget who the other one was.
Yeah, it was Billy Gibbons and Frank Beard.
Yep.
I think that was Frank Beard that was reading off the name. Yeah, I didn't know that until, I was waiting in the wings, waiting to go on, and I saw that. I was like, holy crap, that's ZZ Top. That's why I was really excited. It was a genuine surprise.
Yeah.
They didn't let me know I was about to meet one of the bands that was played nonstop and still is to this day on my favorite classic rock station.
There you go.
Whenever I go back home, turn on 96.5, same damn playlist. It's
Do
awesome.
You regret not getting the cell phone numbers for those guys while you were up there on stage with them? I mean, historically, you're kind of inextricably linked to them now. You know what I mean? You guys shared a moment.
Yeah, that was, you know what, though, too? That was before the days of, we had cell phones, but that was before the days of texting and cell phone photos and everything. So it wasn't like, I probably didn't even have my cell phone on me at the moment.
Yeah.
It wasn't as big a deal. I remember I was sitting in my home in Bel Air the day I got my first text message, and I was as confused as an octogenarian trying to use the internet for the first time. I was really like, I had no idea what was going on. My sister Jen texted me something, and I'm like, I looked at it, and I might as well have been watching a man land on the moon for the first time.
Brandy, I didn't know. Brandy, there's words on my phone. There's words.
Yeah. And then I got slowly pulled into it, and I remember texting my various friends and them, them acting like I was like a sassy 12-year-old girl for trying to text. It was looked down upon for a while. Remember, there was a brief period there where no, I don't text. What do you think, I'm a sissy? Hell no.
There was, and now it's basically how everybody communicates. Seth, you're like me right now. I would say you and I are both in sort of a bit of a hate relationship. It's not a love-hate. Maybe a hate relationship with Adam Schefter of ESPN.com based on his analysis of the Aaron Rodgers situation earlier this week where he's like, well, he rejected a contract extension, so it's clearly not about the money.
Clear, I don't think it's mostly about the money either. But Schefter phrased it in such a way that – turning down an offer must mean it's not about the money. It's proof.
Right.
So it feels like, okay, you're taking orders from Aaron Rodgers' agent. That's what that feels like. Yeah. I don't know if it's true or not, but that sure is what it feels like.
Okay, I'm about to retweet this picture here that Schefter just put up, but you've seen the picture. And so I want to ask you, is it a more egregious violation of our intelligence that he would post what he did about Aaron Rodgers and declaring as if fact that it's not about the money, or him tweeting out this picture of Ben Roethlisberger saying, Steelers reported to training camp today. Here is a lean, mean Ben Roethlisberger showing up for his 18th NFL season. And I was as intrigued by anybody about seeing this, clicking on this picture, because I'd heard that Ben Roethlisberger had been working out a lot and clearly focusing on his conditioning and things like that.
You kind of thought, like, you see that and you think, oh boy, he must look like James Harrison or something.
Dude, he looks retired. He's got a gigantic role around. This is how I envision him for a quarterback. That's a roll around his waist.
He's walking. I don't think he's never going to get rid of that little extra spare tire down there. He's a bulky guy. I thought, for whatever it's worth, I thought he did look a little bit more toned and like in muscular than he typically does. Usually he's pretty smooth all over. Now he looks a little bit like he's got that, like that dad bod, but working out dad bod. So I can appreciate that he may actually be in better shape than he usually is, but he's not lean and mean.
Okay. Yeah, you and like I can agree on that. Okay.
Yeah. No, totally. 100%. Like in an NFL context, I would not say lean and mean. I might say, if he was out at a barbecue with a bunch of random dudes, I'd be like, oh, there's a lean and mean fella. But not in an NFL context. Not whatsoever.
Come on, Schefter. I feel like he was fed this by Roethlisberger's camp.
Well, and this is what I didn't realize. You know, McClain pointed out yesterday that when Schefter, quote unquote, reported that Aaron Rodgers had turned down a contract, I knew that there had been contract talk before. I didn't remember the specifics of it, but as John McClain pointed out, and so did Mike Florio, that had already been reported like a month ago by Bob McGinn. Mm-hmm. So Schefter now twice has framed things with both Aaron Rodgers and Deshaun Watson in such a way where he makes it seem like he's breaking news, and because he's Adam Schefter, it does bring a whole lot of eyeballs to it, but he's not actually breaking news whatsoever, and that's getting kind of annoying. It looks kind of desperate for a guy who's considered to be the preeminent guy in terms of dishing out NFL nuggets. I think this is a little bit beneath him, and I implore Adam Schefter to remember who he is and start operating with a higher level of discretion in how you tweet.
I wish there was a scoreboard for this kind of thing, the amount of people that might care about this scoreboard would be minimal, but you and I being in this business, and on the heels of what you just said there about Schefter maybe being a little desperate with this stuff, I'd love for there to be an actual scoreboard you could go to of who's scooping what. Like, who is providing scoops, give a magnitude of the scoop that they're providing, give it a point system, and tell us which of these newsbreakers is having the best season. Which of the in my fantasy newsbreaker league, do I want Adam Schefter or do I want Ian Rappaport right now?
This is my theory, my little pet theory, and I base it on almost nothing. I wonder if ESPN has kind of changed what their expectations are of their talent and what have you. Because Schefter didn't used to, as I recall, Schefter didn't tweet a whole lot. Mm-hmm. He was one of the few people that I have where I get an alert on my phone because I want to, okay, if Schefter tweets about something, it's probably some breaking news that's pretty important. So for my mental health, I don't like to get a lot of alerts on my phone.
Right.
But I allowed Adam Schefter into my life that way. It's an intimate connection I had with Adam Schefter.
Yep.
Like those sheep lovers we were talking about earlier.
Same thing.
It's the exact same thing. I've taken him off my alert list because it's gotten annoying now. He's tweeting about other sports. He's just tweeting out random stuff. I feel like he kind of tried to bury a couple of his most recent shoddy news things with other tweets. So he's not on my alert list anymore.
What you do there, the secret there is that you find somebody else less annoying from ESPN to follow who you know will retweet Adam Schefter's scoops.
Like the important ones.
You like get go subscribe to Field Yates's alerts, and then you'll only get what you need from Adam Schefter. You know what I mean?
You know what the other one, the person that annoyed me, and I this one because I was looking on Adam Schefter's. I do go to his feed a lot because he still does have good stuff. But this Don Cleveman guy who reports on NFL News or whatever, yeah. Like, I think he used to be with a major network,
yep.
And now he's on his own. I got confused because I saw a few people with this same sentiment. And this is, you're about to hear a genuinely nonpartisan take on this, everybody. When Tom Brady made jokes at the White House ceremony, this Don Cleveman and a few other people said that that was Tom Brady showing support of Joe Biden and or criticizing his friend Donald Trump. I didn't take that one bit that way.
No.
Like, I felt like, yeah, this is kind of how things used to be.
Yeah.
You'd get up and you might even make jokes, like good-hearted ribbing even between the opposition. It used to not be a life and death matter.
Yeah.
And that's what it seemed like to me. But I don't know. Maybe I'm the naive one.
All right. Payne and Pendergast with you on a Thursday, 713-572-4610. Chris Paul, where does he go from here? Some interesting speculation on Chris Paul and who LeBron James might wind up with his third wheel in their new big three in Los Angeles. That's next.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the Free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
All right, so it's still the aftermath here of the NBA Finals, and we're a couple days removed now from Giannis Antetokounmpo and the Milwaukee Bucks taking home their first crown in the last 50 years. Meanwhile, on the other side of the equation, Chris Paul and the Phoenix Suns, they lose in the NBA Finals. So now the speculation starts to swirl, really, Seth, around two recent former Rockets who were traded for each other a couple of years ago, Chris Paul and Russell Westbrook. And there's a really interesting article from Mark Spears of ESPN.com of the Undefeated, I believe, is his corner of the ESPN website universe. And it's really interesting stuff on Chris Paul, Russell Westbrook, and the Lakers. And Phoenix is understandably nervous about losing Chris Paul because he was a big catalyst for them getting to within a couple of games of winning the championship. There is understandable speculation that Chris Paul might want to go to Los Angeles and play with his banana boat buddy LeBron. Remember they were on the banana boat?
I forgot about the banana boat.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
That's weird. That was such a thing in our lives for quite a while.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden I haven't heard about it in like 2 years.
Believe LeBron James, Chris Paul, Dwayne Wade, and Carmelo Anthony. I think that was the banana boat crew.
It's one of the better pictures in the history of photography.
Go Google image it if you don't know what we're talking about. It's pretty sweet. So we know they've already got, in L.A., they've got LeBron, they've got Anthony Davis, and, you know, LeBron's M.O. is to, you know, go find a third here. It's what he did in Cleveland, it's what he did in Miami. Now Chris Paul winding up in L.A., it's a whole lot easier to say it than it is to actually execute it, because they got no cap space to do this. It would have to be a trade. Phoenix would have to cooperate in this whole thing. The more interesting speculation to me, Seth, about the Lakers involving a former Rocket would be the speculation that Russell Westbrook could wind up in L.A. playing with LeBron James and Anthony Davis. I need that. That is what I need. Because Mark Spears is already throwing out names that would be in that trade for L.A., which tells me that there have been discussions. He's like, Well, the trade would be Dennis Schroeder, Kyle Kuzma, and this Horton Tucker reserve they have, the Horton Tucker kid. And that would be the trade with Washington to bring Russell Westbrook there. Dude, I need ball-dominant Russell Westbrook with LeBron James in L.A. badly.
Ball-dominant, and then I think also just, like, look, so much about basketball has become about being positionless and versatile. You know, look at Giannis and his ability to guard anybody on the court. And even, like, despite some pretty big, like, holes in his game, he does some things incredibly well. That old school basketball players didn't necessarily do, old school big men especially. The whole concept of Russell Westbrook is one that it feels like he got antiquated really, really quickly. Is that unfair or, you know, an exaggeration to say that when all of a sudden you've got a guy who can do some things supremely well, but that limits exactly who you can put on the floor and how you have to operate, it just doesn't, it's not as appealing or as enticing as it used to be.
I think the problem for Russell Westbrook, and I'll say the same thing about him that I've said about Ben Simmons, is that, yeah, these are really versatile guys that do a lot of things really well. The problem is that they don't do the one thing well that you absolutely must be able to do to be an elite player in the NBA these days, and that's shoot the basketball. That almost shooting, as far as like checking off the boxes of skill sets, Seth, in my opinion, shooting is like the final exam of a college course. Like, it counts for half your grade. You know what I mean? There are like 10 boxes that you need to check. The one box that has to do with shooting counts for way more than the other nine.
I guess that's where I was making it too complicated. But it's because things are so wide open now, and because outside shooting matters so much and spacing matters so much. You can't just be a guy. You can't be a guard who can't shoot.
Right.
It's too hard in the modern NBA.
The Rockets had to change the construct of their entire team just to accommodate Russell Westbrook. They changed the entire construct of their team to accommodate Russell Westbrook to still try to win at a championship level. Like, that's how they, like, Oklahoma City, I think Russell Westbrook could have stayed in Oklahoma City and they would have left him being ball dominant, triple double guy, winning 46 games a year for the rest of his career. Because it's Oklahoma City, and the, you know, beggars can't be choosers. It's not the way they got their big three was they drafted all of them back in 2008, 2009, you know, back in the day. There aren't big free agents coming to Oklahoma City to gang up LeBron James style there. So Russell Westbrook was their draw. He was the one guy that wanted to stay there, so they let him do his thing. The Rockets couldn't do that. The Rockets couldn't let Russ be what he enjoyed being here and win at a high level. Washington,
you know what I like about the Bucks winning their championship, Sean? It's that, as you pointed out yesterday, we talked about, you know, and as Giannis himself has talked about, in a pretty cool way. It's they're not a constructed super team.
Yeah,
they've got homegrown talent. They did it kind of the conventional way. I think one of the offshoots of that has been that Have you heard a lot of Rockets fans that are overly concerned about angling on how to trade for a superstar?
No.
Or how to, I mean, I think that for the most part, people are so fed up with that, especially when two superstars just angled their way out of, off of your team.
Yep.
And really, Chris Paul, I mean, three superstars have maneuvered their way off or been forced off the team by other stars in the last 2 years of the Rockets.
Yep.
I think a lot of Rockets fans, understandably so, myself included, just want to do this the old school way. Like, let's draft some really good players, maybe a trade for some good veteran role players, and grow it from scratch. It's a lot more, in some ways, it's just a lot more gratifying that way.
Yeah, gratifying is a great, that's exactly what it is. And Giannis, we've got Giannis, Seth, you referred to him talking about, he talked about this in his press conference following the game six, the clinching game six the other night, as he's sitting there holding the MVP trophy and the Larry O'Brien trophy in his lap. Here's what he had to say.
You know, obviously I wanted to get the job done, you know, but that's my stubborn side. Like, it's easy to go somewhere and go and win a championship with somebody else. It's easy. I could go, I don't want to put anybody in the spot, but I could go to a super team and, you know, just do my part and win a championship, still won. But this is the hard way to do it, and this is the way. And we did it. Did it. We did it, man.
Jim on the front right.
Yeah, we had to let him kiss the trophy there at the end. That's what that sound was at the end. He kissed the Larry O'Brien trophy. I love that mentality, Seth. I'm with you. I think a lot of people feel that way. I think that's why LeBron and the decision back in 2010. Where he's like, not only am I going to stab Cleveland right in the small of the back here, but I'm also going to gang up with Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh, my buddies, and go win a championship. I think Kevin Durant going to Golden State, I think it's a big reason why he has been so unpopular the last few years. It's viewed as I think Giannis put it best, it's viewed as the easy way out. It's the easier way. Hey, I'll just go play a role. And then, I mean, do we honestly feel like if James Harden goes and wins a ring in Brooklyn, that would count as much as if he were to stay here and have been the focal point of winning a ring? If he goes and wins a ring in Brooklyn, it would be the same as him having finally gotten over the mountaintop here in Houston? No.
And I think, honestly, the coolest thing about that speech by Giannis is that he's low-key he's talking trash to every other superstar in the NBA right there.
As he has the right to do right now.
He said it would be easy to win a championship. Like he's telling LeBron and he's telling Harden, he's telling all those other guys, it would be easy to win a championship, which is an overstatement. It's still not easy, as we saw with the Miami Heat. It's not that easy. But he said it would be easy to do what you guys have all done. I did it the hard way. Look at me. Basically, he's basically saying scoreboard on these guys. My championship matters more. I like that. That's why I saw Emmanuel Acho on Speak for Yourself talking about how Giannis can't be the face of the NBA, basically because we don't know anything about Giannis.
That was the dumbest take I've ever seen.
It was a dumbest take, but this is where I know I've gone to the dark side now that I'm in sports media. I'm like, it was delivered really well, and I know it got a lot of clicks. It was an impressive performance by Emmanuel Acho. I don't think he actually believes what he was saying because it didn't make any sense. Like, when I've heard Giannis speak during the playoffs and post-championship and all of this, man, I find myself engrossed in Giannis because I think, for one, I love the accent. There's just something that it carries, that kind of gravitas that it does, like when Hakeem speaks or somebody with. But also, it's just that he says interesting things. He says insightful things. He's not just saying random stuff that he saw in a sneaker commercial or something. He's a really interesting dude.
Yep, I like Giannis a lot, no question. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you on a Thursday. College football realignment is back in our lives. Texas, Oklahoma reportedly have made overtures to the SEC to see if they can join the conference. What do Aggies want to happen? I actually put a poll up, and we'll let you know what the Aggies who voted in it so far say they wanted. Do they want to be back with Texas playing them every year, or do they want their exclusivity, their SEC exclusivity in the state of Texas? We'll discuss next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, the big news today is the SEC is fielding phone calls from the University of Texas and Oklahoma, figuratively, maybe literally, about reporting or about joining the SEC. UT and OU both want to join the SEC. It would take a 3/4 majority from the schools in the SEC to approve the membership of UT and OU. And there's a lot of fallout that obviously could come from. There's a lot of fallout that probably a lot of fallout that could come from even UT and OU wanting to take a look at something like this. You know what I mean? Like, eventually, if it doesn't happen, you're back with all these other Big 12 schools, and it's one of those begrudging kind of relationships. But if it happens, boy, Seth, I mean, we're talking about this possibly being the first tipping point to that 4-16-team super conference structure that everybody just thinks is eventually going to happen, because this would become the first 16-team super conference at the Power 5 level in college football. This would be gigantic.
Yeah. And you start, you know, and then you start playing the slippery slope game where people wonder, like, oh, are we going to end up with two super conferences and basically one special 1A division of like of 30 or 32 teams in college football?
Yeah.
Like, almost like you've got like a professional sports league where you generally have 30 to 32 teams in a professional sports league. Mm-hmm. Are there going to be 30 to 32? Basically professional college teams. They get the best NIL deals. They've got the best TV packages. I wonder if we're headed towards that, and I wonder if the SEC is thinking that too. And that maybe this is Texas and Oklahoma reaching out to the SEC. That's the way it's been reported. But I wonder how much of it is actually a two-way street, and maybe some discussions have been had about, like, if we're headed this way, then we might as well do it with a couple of heavy hitters.
I'm going to tell you right now that if they partitioned it off to where there's a 64 team, call it, super conference, and then there's the next level, which is the teams that got the F the Power Five teams that got left out of that mix and the Group of Five schools right now. I'm all for that if there's relegation between the two divisions, like in soccer, where if you're just not good enough in the SEC, you get relegated down to the Sun Belt Conference or something like that. Dude, that would be awesome. Can you imagine?
Why is it about, okay, I'll bring this up just for the moment. Yeah. The whole, I always hear, it's always somebody that watches soccer, and I get it, and I vaguely understand relegation, but I don't understand how it works financially and how you subsist long term. It's pretty much impossible in America, right? We're just not set up for it the same way.
In our sports,
I always hear people
yeah.
suggesting relegation, yeah. but it's not going to work out. Now, maybe in college it would, though, right? Because it's not – then the revenue theoretically isn't as big a deal as it is in pro sports, but especially at those lower-level schools where they're not making a profit off of football. So you might as well get relegated if you're struggling in one of the bigger leagues.
So I put up a poll for Aggies. And I think that to me, there's a lot of interesting wrinkles to this potential move of Texas and Oklahoma to the SEC. You know, what happens to the Big 12 if those two schools leave? What happens with, does the University of Houston all of a sudden look at this and say, wow, the musical chairs are moving again. Might we be able to step up in caliber of conference that we're in? The Aggies are really interesting in this whole thing because the Aggies, well, let's play their athletic director first. Here's Ross Bjork, the A&M AD. When these rumors started circulating yesterday, when the reports started circulating yesterday, and by the way, credit Brent Zwerneman of the Chronicle who broke the story. He covers the Aggie beat for the Chronicle. When the story broke yesterday afternoon, the SEC Media Days were going on, and the Texas A&M AD, Ross Bjork, was at Media Days and was asked about UT and Oklahoma coming into the SEC.
We want to be the only SEC program in the state of Texas. There's a reason why Texas A&M left the Big 12. To be standalone, to have our own identity, and that's our feeling.
All right, so that's the AD for Texas A&M, Ross Bjork. Seth, I put up a poll, and we're now up to several hundred votes. Pender poll for the Aggies. Would you rather have Texas back in your conference so you can play them each season, or would you rather have your SEC exclusivity in Texas? Basically, do you want UT in the SEC or not? What do you think the numbers are at right now?
I think there's a good chance. It's going to be pretty evenly split. But I think more Aggies appreciate that as long as they're in the SEC, they can, regardless of their record in any given year, they can always say, ha-ha, to Texas. That it doesn't have to be a one-on-one matchup. That they get to win that matchup every year and say scoreboard effectively. Whereas if all of a sudden Texas is in the mix, then Texas gets what they want. Plus, then you don't have that all-time in-your-face that they do right now. So I think the majority of people don't want Texas in the SEC.
57% want SEC exclusivity. They do not want the University of Texas. So you are correct, sir. The majority, 57%, want UT to stay the hell away.
That's still, I mean, 43% of people that want Texas there, that's nothing to sneeze at. It makes me wonder how much actual opposition there is from A&M alums, at least. How much opposition is there from Aggies to this genuinely and really? Like it's like a normal presidential election. Let's go back before the last several years where things didn't get so polarized. You get a whole lot of people that are like, well, I guess I'll vote for this guy. You know, like, I guess. Like, it doesn't mean that they're, whenever there's a 60-40 split on something, a good chunk of that 60% doesn't care all that deeply
yeah.
about it.
If I'm an Aggie, I want Texas back in the conference. You know what I mean? Generally speaking, I want Texas and OU to stay in the Big 12. Like, I want the Big 12 to stay intact. I want the conference to exist. The consolidation in college football, just as a fan, to me, I'm not wild about it. And the realignment, I think it's a really interesting topic sports talk radio-wise, but I don't want it to happen. But if I were an Aggie, I'm putting myself in the shoes of an Aggie right now, not Sean Pendergast, an Aggie. I would want UT back in the conference so I could play them every year again. Like, that's when Seth, yeah. Anytime I'm looking at my school, I'm more worried about the schedule and who I get to watch them play and see them play every year than I am, okay, are they part of a conference? Are they not part of a conference? Are they, where are they, you know, all the little political things that go on? Man, no, when Notre Dame got Michigan back on the schedule, I was jacked. I was pumped. When they got Miami back on the schedule, I was pumped. If I'm an Aggie, I want to play UT every year again.
You know what I would ask the, I wouldn't actually ask him this, but it kind of makes me feel this way.
Yeah.
Like what I, it makes me want to ask the A&M AD is, okay, you want to be the only school from Texas in the SEC and you want to keep Texas out of it. My first thought is like, well, wait a second. What do you care more about, the SEC or the state of Texas? Mm-hmm. Because there's something about Texas versus A&M that was for a long time a tradition in the state of Texas. And look, I understand the appeal of going to the SEC, and it makes sense on a lot of respects and everything. But there is always that part of me that says, all right, but now if you have the opportunity to be joined by Texas, that's something that's great for the state of Texas, regardless of whether it's good for your personal circumstances or the SEC or general or anything. Just in terms of your patriotism towards the independent state of Texas, do the right thing here. Allow Texas in.
That's right. That's right. Speaking of Texas, I saw this thrown around yesterday. I'm curious what you think about this. Okay, so so UT has the options could potentially be stay in the Big 12, get an invite to the SEC. Let's pretend the SEC thing doesn't work out. What would you think about the University of Texas going independent in football? Like Notre Dame.
Boy, yeah, I don't think that would be a good idea. I think it works out for Notre Dame because they're a special case and because it's been that way for so long.
Yeah.
I think you'd see open derision about that from other schools and conferences, and I think it might actually become – could I say it might end up actually be get hard to get a good schedule together.
Schedule,
I don't know.
Maybe.
I could see outright boycotting by other teams that are in conferences.
Yeah,
that were to happen.
The problem for UT, if they were to make that decision right now, is they're not a good football program right now. I mean, they've got some talented players, and they've got a new coach, and they certainly have a pedigree and a blue-bloodedness about them. But that would be something you would look at doing on a year where you just went 11-1 or something. Like, you know, when the brand isn't as tattered as it is right now, I would think.
And I guess I don't, I wonder how many people at UT really have a taste for that, given their experiment with the Longhorn Network. Even though, I mean, financially it's worked out well for them, but they also see that it's not necessarily, they don't have the pull or they don't necessarily have the pull or the power that perhaps they thought they did when they started the Longhorn Network.
They might have been able to do it back when the Longhorn Network, you know, there was a reason the Longhorn Network came to be 10 years ago because the Texas football brand was still a year removed from playing in the national championship game against Alabama with Colt McCoy. Now would be a bad time to do that. I agree with you. Someone texted in here, and you can text the show 713-572-4610. I've heard OU can't leave the Big 12 or join another conference without Oklahoma State joining them, like a state law, or it has to be approved by the Oklahoma legislature. Is that true? If so, could that sink the whole deal? I don't know exactly what the laws are in Oklahoma, but I promise you this, that if OU leaves with Texas or tries to go to the SEC, Oklahoma State is going to raise a major, major stink about it. No question about it. That's what makes this either just so fascinating or to some people just so esoteric. They're like, let me know when you guys are talking about the Astros again, that kind of thing. Is that there's so much politically involved with this because we're talking about state institutions here. You know, when Texas and OU were looking to leave for the Pac-12 reportedly 10 years ago, that's one of the reasons why Oklahoma State had to be one of the schools to go with them, is because OU said they wouldn't go anywhere and couldn't go anywhere without Oklahoma State.
I'm reading from the pistolsfiringblog.com.
Of course you are.
It says, the thinking all along in the original conference realignment was that if OU were to go anywhere, OSU would be tied at the hip by law, according to the state legislature. That's not in writing, however. It's an informal assumption made based largely on the politics involved. So I think I guess there's been a whole lot of hinting that, like, oh, wait a second, the state of Oklahoma isn't going to allow this, but it's, according to this article, at least, it's not an actual law that's on the books.
Ooh, awesome. So there'll be lobbying going on about it then. Like, there'll be a lot of a lot of, you know, there's convincing that's going to need to go on. They can't just point to the law and say, sorry, OU, you can't go. They're going to actually have to apply political pressure to different people.
Somehow along the way, this is going to get, somebody's going to figure out a way to tack legal marijuana into one of these bills, too. They're like, all right, we'll let you leave, but.
Did you see, by the way, along those lines, Payne and Pendergast with you on a Thursday, did you see Florio last week, Seth, say, hey, the easy way to get NFL players all vaccinated? Stop preventing them from smoking weed during the year.
Yeah, I thought you like put that as the carrot on the stick. Yeah. He framed it in such a way as that, like he made it seem like 100% of NFL players are just dope fiends who can't get enough.
Right?
Like I was just you gotta let me smoke. I'll do anything,
junkies.
anything. Yeah, like, come on. It's I think there are a lot of guys who partake during the windows that they can, and then it's not that big a deal when they can't. But it's also like not I think there are a lot of people that assume that 100% of NFL players smoke pot, and that's just far from the case. There are a lot of basically straight edge NFL players that don't smoke or drink or drink coffee or anything like that. It's just it's a spectrum, just like society.
It's like 90%. I mean, people think it's 100%.
Stop it, Sean. It's obviously gotten, it's more than it used to be,
yep.
Just because society has changed. But it's also, you got to remember too, the NFL isn't like college. In the NFL, there's guys that have families and everything. And like, there's a lot of guys that used to drink a lot of beer that don't drink anymore just because they're getting older and they've got their families and they just take life a little bit more seriously.
Jeff is in Cyprus, wants to weigh in on conference realignment. What's going on, Jeff?
Well, I just wanted to add that, when A&M left and said they were going to leave the Big 12, you know, they said, look, we'll keep playing Texas if y'all want. And DeLoss Dodds, the man who's primarily responsible for the mess that the Big 12 is, said, no, we're never playing you guys again. You left, you can go, forget it. And so now Texas, who can't fill their stadium for any home games, they need A&M. They need a home game where they can pack the stadium. And all of a sudden they're coming. They don't want to admit they're coming with hat in hand, but they are because they were so critical about the A&M move. You know, now it's, hey, we're in the dumpster fire of a conference. We need to get into another one. And you know, and they're gonna portray this like, oh, the Aggies are gonna keep us out of the SEC.
You know what? I'm glad you're bringing this up because this is how, tell me if I'm right on this. I would characterize the attitude of most Longhorn fans and alums as A&M left the conference as scoffing at them. Like talking about how, like almost like acting like A&M was pathetic for leaving the conference and running off to the SEC.
Yeah. You're exactly right. And it was like, hey, how could you leave us? Here's the other thing, and I'm going to mention this, and I'm sure the Longhorn fans, Texas has an arrogance that because of the Darryl Royal era, and the Mack Brown era, they think they own college football. And they have been insignificant for the last 10, 12 years, basically, okay? They can throw their weight around in the Big 12. They're not going to do that in the SEC. They might be able to do it in the Pac-12, but in the SEC, that ain't going to happen. And I'm not sure if their entitled egos can handle that either.
Yeah, yeah, there may Jeff, we appreciate the phone call. We're up against it. Yeah, there may be a certain element of be careful what you wish for when it comes to the Longhorns and the SEC. No doubt about that.
But right. I can also see where Aggies feel like, oh, wait a second. You guys call those idiots and chumps for going running off to the SEC, and now you want to join us?
Yep. All right. Camp Casario gets started next Wednesday, so it's going to get very, very interesting around here. Will Camp Casario be a circus next Wednesday? John McClain lays out the scenario. He did this with us yesterday. We'll let you hear it next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.